glad we can worship Him. You know, I'm glad that it is a privilege to worship our Lord. You know, we kind of covered that last week. You know, we, with the veil being ripped in two, with at the death of Jesus Christ, we can freely worship, we can freely approach, and that is a blessing. It is an honor to come in. I realize that, you know, we might be down in numbers today, but I'm here to tell you we can. It just takes two or three. That's all the Bible says, and I'm ready. I'm ready to see what God has, and I'm ready to see what God has in store. You know, sometimes He lays a message on your heart, and then I look across and I wonder, God, why this time? Why couldn't it have been this message at a different time? And then I have to just trust God that, you know, it's His Word, His Spirit's doing the work out here. I don't know every situation, but I'm sure glad I know a God that does. He's a personal Savior. He's a loving God, and I'm glad He works with us. So John chapter 3, we're going to start kind of in the middle. We're going to start in verse 7. So this is Jesus talking with Nicodemus. So John 3, 7, Jesus is answering. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how should you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascended up to God, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yeah. And now 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word that is just filled with grace and mercy and truth. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to be able to preach this familiar passage. Lord, help me, and I ask that You would touch the ears and the hearts that are here today and that will listen to this later. Lord, that Your will be done, that You would save the lost, that You would heal the backslider, strengthen those of us that are saved, and Lord, help us to continue on. In Jesus' precious name, we ask all these things, and amen. So Nicodemus, at the beginning of the chapter, it said he was a man of the Pharisees. So this would have been a man who tried to keep the law. He would have been a ruler of the Jews. He was in the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like an equivalent of our Senate. So he would have had great power, great wealth, great position and authority. And about as close as I can give to you would have been Saul of Tarsus. So Paul, before he was converted, he said of himself in Philippians 3, 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." So those Pharisees, they would have separated themselves. They would have been Orthodox Jews, and they would have had all these religious rules that they would have followed every day of their life. They would have fasted twice a week. Gave tithes regularly. They would have had all these different special ways to wash their hands and everything else. And this Nicodemus comes to Jesus one night. He comes to Him and he calls Him rabbi, or it's like saying master. And you think about that, would have been unthinkable for a man of his position and authority, for Nicodemus to call Jesus a master and for Jesus to approach him. But I believe he dropped his pride that night. I believe his position, he put that all aside, and he just wanted to speak with Jesus. And aren't you glad? That blesses me to think about. We've got a lot of people in authority across this world, whether religious or political or anything else. And there is, I believe that there is the same Jesus, the same God that touched Nicodemus's heart, that he would drop the pride, drop the authority, drop the religion, and just want to come and speak with Jesus. I say, you know what? The Lord can do that today. He can do that with kings or presidents or governors or religious leaders or anyone. Don't you believe that? The same Jesus that touched Nicodemus can touch anybody. And I say, thank God for that. He was educated. He was a religious man. He would have been a moral man. And the culture of his day, the society of his day, would have said, look at this example of a wonderful person. I wish I could be like Nicodemus. That's what they would have said. And if any man could have made it to heaven, right? Who would it have been? It would have been him. If anyone could have made it to heaven on his own, it would have been Nicodemus. So here he's asking in verse 3, talking to Jesus and asking him and starting to speak with him. And Jesus could have said, just said, wow, your education, that's great, your religion, all of these things. But in verse 3, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there as Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and Jesus says that, and he doesn't understand. Nicodemus doesn't understand what he's talking about. He thinks Jesus is asking him to be physically born again, and he's confused. And that's why he asked Jesus how. And then in verse 7 gets to our passage. Jesus repeats. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He tells them, listen, this isn't a physical rebirth, right? We've had babies born recently and we've got more on the way. It's not a physical birth that he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual rebirth. And that's why he says, ye must be born again. You know what that means? If Jesus is saying he must be born again, then that meant that everything in Nicodemus's life didn't really matter up to that point. Right? The education didn't matter. All of these things. If he wanted to enter into the kingdom of God, if he wanted to get to heaven, it didn't matter all of these things about his life. All that mattered was he born again? You see that? Look what it says. He is a Pharisee, a religious leader. And this is Jesus' answer to his life. He says, ye, not does he say maybe, right? You should or maybe be. He says, you must be born again. Right. That's what this world needs to hear. There is no other way. There's no other solution. Jesus told him, you must be born again. He was a religious ruler. You must be born again. He's a good moral man. He followed commandments. You must be born again. And here's what he tells him. All of these things, can you think of how shocking it would have been for Nicodemus to hear that? Right? That wouldn't have been, you got to remember, he is not someone that society would have called a waste or a sinner or an evil man. He would have been someone that society would have called a good man. And even to good men and religious men and moral men and accepted by society men, Jesus still is saying the same thing today. Ye must be born again. Amen. That means whatever's before doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the education. It doesn't matter the standing in society. It doesn't matter the power, because some of us can't achieve the things that men have achieved. We can't do that. We can't change careers. We can't go back and get a whole bunch of education. Some of us, college isn't something that you would even want to do. And I tell you, after doing a lot of it, a lot of times it's a cursing. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter. He said, you must be born again. That's what he's telling him. And look at Nicodemus's answer. He's astounded. He's shaken. And he's not talking about the physical rebirth, but a spiritual one. And he's a religious man. And he's doing all these things he thought was right. And here's Jesus saying, you've got to completely start over. And you see his answer? How can these things be? See, if Jesus would have told him, you're pretty good, but all you have to do is just add this or add that, right? You're following these rules, but if you would just follow one more rule. You're doing these rituals, but if you would just do one more ritual. I believe Nicodemus would have said, Lord, I will do it, right? He'd have told Jesus, oh, if all I need to do is wash in the Jordan, once a year or whatever, make up whatever you want. I believe Nicodemus would have said, I'll do it. Yeah. He would have. You realize that's what men try to do. We try to come up with a list of things that if we handle all those things, if we do all those things, then suddenly we'll be accepted of God. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, keep doing what you're doing and add a couple things, or you've already made it. He didn't say that. He could have said that to Nicodemus. But no, he said, you must be born again. And he's thinking of all these things and he's like, wait, I'm accepted. I'm a religious ruler. I'm a master of the Jews. I'm in the Sanhedrin. I'm in their Senate. And Jesus is telling me, you must be born again. How can these things be? Nothing can be done to save your life other than a new life through Jesus Christ. That's what he makes abundantly clear right here, right? That's what he's telling us. There's nothing that can be done, nothing that can be helped or fixed or anything else, but a complete rebirth, a complete starting over. That's what he's telling him right here. You must be born again. And he's saying, how can these things be? And you see as we go on in the passage that he's questioning these things and he's tore up. And then as Jesus continues on, we're not going to go through all the things that Jesus said. But one of the things that really hit me was verse 14. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you see what he says right there? He gives, Nicodemus was a Jewish man, a religious man. He would have known the Old Testament. And Jesus tells him and brings him back to an Old Testament story. And he said, listen, remember when Moses was leading the people and they were getting real close to the promised land. Before Moses would have died and Joshua would have taken over to actually get them there. They get to a point where they don't have bread and water, which is not a place where this is not uncommon. They've been in that spot before. And guess what happened? Whenever they were without water, what did God do? He gave them water. Whenever they were without food, what did God do? He gave them food. God had taken care of them. But here they are complaining one more time. This time, God sends fiery serpents. Numbers 21 is the story. Sends fiery serpents, they're starting to get bitten. And as they get bitten, people are falling dead. And you're thinking, my goodness. But then God makes a way out. He tells Moses, he says, I want you to put a brass serpent up on a pole. And if a man gets bitten before he dies, he needs to look at that brass serpent and I will heal him. And it seems ridiculous, doesn't it? The fact that God could have a man make a statue and the fact that you would have poison from a snake in you and you know you're going to die within however much time, that if you would literally just walk out, he doesn't say take the anti-venom, he doesn't say drink this or that or try to suck it out or whatever modern thing they would tell you to do today. He says just look at that thing and you'll be healed. You realize it would have taken faith for someone to do that. It seems ridiculous. But God said that this is what I want you to do. And Jesus is reminding Nicodemus of this. He's saying, listen, what's he saying? 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, what's he say? Must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you see what he's saying? Earlier on, he tells Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It has to happen, right? There's no other thing. There's no other way. Your religion's not going to help you. You must be born again. And now he's saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Do you see what he's saying? There's no other way for us to be born again other than Jesus Christ going up on the cross and dying for our sins. You see, these aren't should need to happen or may need to happen or could happen or this is a way. This is the same Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he is telling them, I must go to the cross to die for your sins. And when that happens, just like like it took faith for them in the Old Testament when they were bitten by a snake and realized they were going to die to just look up and they would live. The same thing is with Jesus. Once you realize that you're dead in your trespasses and sins and realize that there's no way out, there's no cure, there's no potion, there's no drug, there's no religious ritual, there's no baptism or anything else that can save you other than looking to Jesus and realizing that he died for your sins, that and believing it and calling out on his name, that's where you find salvation and eternal life. Amen. You must be born again. But he also said, I must be lifted up. I've got to die. For anyone that thinks there's a different way, then Jesus would have told him right here the other way. He said, there's no other way. You've got to be born again, and I've got to die for your sins. It's that simple right there. And we have got a whole world that is trying to change that. Either I'm good enough that I don't need a Savior, right? That's Nicodemus. That's really who he was. He was living a life of, I can do enough things that I'll be good enough. And then you've got another set of people that are saying Jesus didn't have to die, or he didn't die, or his death is meaningless. Both are lies. The gospel is crystal clear. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are born in sin because we're from the line of Adam. That's what the Bible says. And once we realize there's nothing we can do to get to heaven. But don't you love the fact that Jesus said, well, wait, there is someone that came from heaven to this earth, and that's me. And I'm going to be lifted up between heaven and earth, and I'm going to die for your sins. That's Jesus. Yeah. And you think about, he is saying these are two things that must happen. Jesus did his part, right? We celebrated on Friday, it would have been when he died, and then we celebrated the resurrection last Sunday, and we celebrated the fact that he rose from the dead after dying on the cross for our sins, and what a joyous time. But here's the thing, he did what he had to do, he did what must be done on his end, but the last part is what we have to do. You notice he didn't say, thou must be born again. You know, they get on the King James for ye and your and thou and thee. See, thee or thou, if it starts with a T, it's singular. But ye or your in the KJV is plural. So when he's talking to Nicodemus that day, he's one-on-one with Nicodemus. He could have said, thou must be born again, and it would have only applied to Nicodemus. He didn't say that. Even though it's one-on-one, what did he say? Ye must be born again. Jesus is talking to every single one of us through the pages of his scripture. From the point that it left Jesus' mouth before Nicodemus, it still applies today, and it will apply until he comes back. Ye must be born again. He's telling everybody because his word's alive. And you realize Jesus can still have a one-on-one conversation with you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can have a one-on-one conversation with you today. And is still touching hearts. And don't you just love the fact that those of us that are born again, we talked about this in Sunday school in 1 Peter, we can see a change in our life. We can see where God has brought us from. We can see where God has given us a new heart and a new mind. Can't you see that when he says you must be born again? Remember, he's saying not turning over a new leaf, not adding a couple rules, but a total and complete change. And can't you see that in your life? Those of us that are saved, you can see where God changed us, praise God. Our standing with him is different. We were once an enemy of God. And now, I'm just going to read what we looked at in Sunday school. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that a blessing to think about? We're no longer the same anymore. I'll read another verse from Sunday school. Verse 4 in chapter 2 of 1 Peter says this, to whom coming as unto a living living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed unto men, but chosen unto God, of God, and precious. This world may reject us. This world disallows us. They don't like us. But I tell you what, we are chosen and precious to God when you're saved. He changes you. That's what being born again is. But that also goes into the word repentance. You know what he was telling Nicodemus that day? You have to drop all of that. You have to drop being a Pharisee. You have to drop being a religious ruler. You have to drop you trying to work your way to the kingdom of God and go through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That same repentance still holds true today. Maybe you're not a Pharisee today, but whatever you're trying to use to get yourself to heaven, you've got to drop that. Whatever old life, maybe it's a self-centered life of you doing what you want and ignoring God. You've got to drop that life. You must be born again.
Amen.
And you're thinking, Mike, that seems impossible. Well, with men, that is impossible.
Right.
It is impossible to raise yourself from the dead. It is impossible to give yourself a new life. But aren't you glad that God did it for us? He's here today. He's available today. He loves you today, and whatever you need today, he can supply it. But before you can get anything out of God, you have to come to him and repent and trust in his salvation. Trust in his work on the cross and raising from the dead. Admit you're a sinner and call on his name for salvation. Romans 10:9. We read it a lot, but I love it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. And this is the message we need to take to this world, are the two things. You must be born again. Your current life will not get you to heaven. I don't care what they say about you at your funeral. The Bible doesn't match that. But there's a way out. Right? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, we don't have the end of the conversation here with Nicodemus. I don't know if he kept talking to Jesus or if he just walked away, maybe walked away sad, saying, I can't do that. But aren't you glad Nicodemus pops up again in John chapter 19?
Yes.
At Jesus' burial, remember Joseph of Arimathea begging the body and they're going to put him in his borrowed tomb. Guess who shows up that night? Nicodemus with 100 pounds of ointment and spices getting ready to anoint the body there for the burial. I believe that he went away sad that day and sorrowful and said, I can't do that. I can't give up what I've done my whole life. I can't give up who I am and my identity for Jesus until what? The day he saw the Son of Man lifted up. Remembered what he said. You know what? Jesus said he would do that. And look at him. He's no mere man. He's God.
Yes.
And before he rose, there he is at the tomb, anointing his body. I believe Nicodemus got born again. I believe that. I believe it changed his life. And I'll tell you, he can do the same thing for you.
Yes.
But that is what leads up to verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. And then he tells us the why in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You think about all the things that God has done. He did it because he loved us that much. And I say it a lot, but it's something we have to remember and something we can praise God about even on the darkest days, even when the depression hits and the sadness hits and the grief hits and the trials come. We can say, hold on a second. God loved me enough to send his Son to die for me. He could have sin separated us from God God. He could have left us in our sins. He could have left us all by ourselves. He could have started the church and left us alone. But no, he died for us. He loves us. He went back. He rose from the dead. We just celebrated that. He's up in heaven, ever making intercession for us. He's in the midst when we're together and worshiping and calling on his name. There he is. And soon one day he's calling us home. Why? Because he loves us. I tell you what, even if Jesus never came and took us to heaven, he still loved us for saving our souls. Even if all these blessed promises that we get, he didn't give, he still loves us more than anybody else. He's a good God. And then on top of all that, he said, listen, I didn't just save you to leave you. I didn't save you for you to live your own life. I've given you a new life and a new heart and a new mind. And guess what? This place that you're living in, this world's not your home forever. I am preparing a place for you, and I'm going to bring you to where I am, and we'll be together forever. And I say praise God for that. He loves us today. We had nothing to bring to him. Nicodemus had nothing to bring that God said was good enough. But he said, listen, when you didn't have what was good enough, I sent what was good enough to die in your place. And I say praise God. Why did he do that? For God so loved the world. I can't get over that, church. It energizes me. It blesses me. This world doesn't love me. Sometimes members of family and friends and coworkers that you really are close with, even some of them don't love you at times. And sometimes we're unlovable. But God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give us the scraps. He gave us the best. That whosoever. See, certain people like to change that word to maybe it's just a certain few. No, he says whosoever. He says it there. He says it in Romans twice. He keeps saying it over and over again. Whosoever. You know what that means? Anybody. Anybody that'll believe. Anybody that'll repent. Anyone that'll call on Jesus' name will have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? That's why we're here today.
Amen.
This world thinks we live for a certain period. We die and that's it. If that's all the hope we had, we'd be most miserable. What is this world, honestly? They're miserable. Oh, they smile. They have things they're happy about, but they're in all reality, they're miserable. But we're different. Right? We're different. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people.
Yes.
Chosen of God and precious. Wow. That's who we are today. That's who we are. We're not junk. We're not castaways. We're not step. We're not half. We're chosen. We're blessed. We're loved. We're given grace. That's why we can come in here when things get tough. That's why we can still praise him when the trials come.
Yeah.
We're blessed today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, he's still saying the same thing. You must be born again.
That's right.
But aren't you glad he made a way before we even knew we needed a way?
Yeah.
That's why he could tell Nicodemus before he died on the cross. He said, you want to see the kingdom of God? You're going to have to trust in the cross before he even died on it. Because the plan was already there. It was already set. What a God. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Like I said, sometimes you put a message like that and I scan the crowd and I think, Lord, I think everyone's saved. Why would you give me a message like this? I don't know. Just trust in God. But maybe he's talking about you with something. Maybe something was hit there. And he's dealing with you today. You know what the best thing to do is? Just like Nicodemus would have had to do. Drop the self. Drop the pride. And say, Lord, I need you. I need you for salvation. I need you for grace and strength. I need you for wisdom. And whatever else. And just get serious with God and come to him. I've never been denied from the Lord. Always told me no from time to time, but a lot of times I needed that no and didn't know it. You realize whenever I've needed something from Him, He's supplied the need. He's been there. Hasn't He been there for you? He said He's not like a father that if His child would ask for bread, He'd give him a serpent. I said I wouldn't do that. And He hasn't done that with us. Maybe you need to ask Jesus for something today. I don't know what it is, but we're going to open up the altar. Maybe you need to come today. Come up and pray, or maybe pray at your seat. But before the distractions of this world take over in a few minutes, if God's talking to you right now, why don't you deal with it right now? Right? Deal with it between you and God, as Brooks sings.